Don't you let anybody take away what God has promised you. Don't let anything steal what belongs to you. I'm here to tell you tonight, every sin can be overcome. Don't allow yourself to admit any exception, for if you do, this exception, and I like this illustration, will be the loose bolt that causes the bridge to fall down. It only takes one small thing to begin to cause a structure to falter. It only takes one sin to open up a vulnerability in you. And I had somebody text me this week and told me, they said, "Thank you, brother, for preaching about holes getting poked in your vessel." And I said, "Lord, I know that was you." One little thing can cause our joy to slowly leak out of us. One moment can cause us to go from enjoying life to having some kind of grudge that we seemingly can't let go of. And to be honest with you, I feel sorry for people that have problems with each other. Because you know what? That grudge is not going to prosper you, make you happy, bring you satisfaction. If grudges could bring satisfaction, I'm sure Jesus had the most of a reason to lash out and say, "Why would I die for a people so unworthy?" Have you ever felt like that you've done good for people, but they never thanked you before? You ever felt like you've did all that you knew to do and walked away and didn't get a single ounce of gratitude? Can you imagine what it was like to be in the presence of some of the same people that followed Jesus, but yet all of a sudden was part of the voice that yelled to crucify him, being part of the voice that accepted a murderer over having the Messiah with them? What kind of evil that it had to be to cause people to go from saying, "I receive you, you are the Messiah," to being afraid of the world enough to say, "Crucify him." Because I'm here to tell you that that fear they had over Rome and the Romans and their institution didn't last forever. Rome didn't last forever. That which you go through and that which tries to crucify you won't last forever. And I'm here to tell you that even if they take the very last ounce of your life in this trial, you're going to rise out of the tomb. Oh, my Lord and my God, we're not here to be taken by the grave, and we're not here to be put in a trial not to come out of it. He wants you to be prosperous, and that means to be lifted up, to be made with more than what you had before. And I'm here tonight to testify to you that I'm overcoming sin because I'm realizing what I have. I've not had any great big epiphany. I've not got to go to the Holy Land or even the Holy Land lookalike in Florida. I've not got to go and see any religious figures. I've not been inspired by any religious paintings. I've not been inspired by any devotionals. I've just begun to pray and seek God and realize what's already inside of me to cause me to be happy. And I'm here to tell you, friends, it didn't cost me anything to be happier. It didn't cost me anything to be happier, but it was given to me by the love of God through Jesus Christ and the presence of His Spirit within us. That's all right. You can clap. It's all good. That's something to clap about. Romans 6:14. Two more scriptures and we're closing. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." So even when sin would try to prevail, it does not have what? Dominion. Sin does not have the final say. And I'm here to tell you that I've failed. We talked about this. I have broken pieces. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. But that does not mean that we're living in sin. The truth of the matter is there are things that are so tough that we don't know what's going to happen. There are debts that are so much more than we can even pay in the moment. There are people that come against us that we seemingly never see the end of their persecution. I've seen loved ones that went unexpectedly. I've seen people that have went slowly to disease. And in my heart wonder and question why in the world it had to be that way. There are many things that we don't have the answers for. There are many questions that we'll have that would try to lead us into confusion. But Jesus told us, in this world you would have tribulation. Tribulation is not a trial. And a trial is not tribulation. Because sometimes trials and tests or what you'll do in something that you have the power over, but sometimes you do not choose to yield your power. We are tested for growth. How many of you know that? We're tested for growth. But there will be things that happen that cause us to be in a storm or tribulation. Things that we cannot change. Number one, the fact that we get older every day we live. So things that change as we get older. We lose people that we grew up with. We have to give up our parents. We have to give up our family, our loved ones, our people that we've served God with. We have to accept the fact that things cannot be like they used to be. I'm not the athlete that I once was when I played football and ran track. In fact, I'm probably two of the athletes put together combined. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I've got older. I've aged. I've been through things. But one thing has remained a constant for me, and somebody helped me testify and give me a witness right now. The only constant that I've had, even though things have changed and things have been unforeseen and things out of my control have happened, I have had God every single step of the way. I have never been alone. I have never been forsaken. I have not been left without, and I have not been begging for bread. He would not have you to suffer in this world without the promise of knowing that He's with you. There are dangers in pretending that we win the battle against sin when we are not in our approach of winning the issue with what I like to call self-effort. Your logic, your way of doing things. Oh, I tell you, there have been countless times where I had said, you know what, Joe, I'm going on a diet tomorrow. Oh, it's happening. But then I go eat, maybe my mother's house, and she's got a spread, honey, and lays it out there and she says, well, aren't you going to get more? And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll just diet on Tuesday. I'll sleep off Sunday, go walk it off Monday, start dieting on Tuesday. But I'm here to tell you that when God shakes you up and gets a hold of you, you'll have the strength to do it and won't have to try and do it only on your own. And I'm going to get on a more serious note. There is not enough things that you can try to do your own way that will ever persuade the flesh in somebody to be saved. There is not enough forgiveness that you could give of your own heart that will cause people to ever like you again. There are some things that you're going to do for others, are you ready, that you'll never get it back. And you're going to feel tired, spent out, burn out. You know the number one reason in a survey to ministers across the nation, you know what the number one reason that ministers give up the cause? Ministry burnout. They get tired of giving. And you would think, oh, how could that ever happen? But if we live in a world of nothing but takers, where there's no honor, respect, support, help, and we live in this take from me first and give you a little later mentality, then we're walking in the same way that the religious did, and even the disciples did at times. Even when the woman poured out the oil upon Christ, they said, what are you doing? We could have sold that and furthered the ministry. What are you doing? And sometimes we get so caught up in trying to do church our way, trying to do things how we think they should go. And then we get to the point where it's so awful that we can't even enjoy it even when we're supposed to. And it's like God's trying to speak through His Spirit when we're preaching like we're preaching, saying, what are we doing with the time that we're given? You don't have another promise of a day of life. You don't have the promise of even going home this evening. We don't have the promise of another time to put off that we can get there. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of your freedom. This is the time to choose to do the right thing. So tonight, even when it's hard, do it anyway, because Jesus did it anyway for you. Friends, as long as we're in the flesh, we will expect to sin. How many of you have ever had the attitude like you just felt like something bad was coming? I'm here to tell you that God did not want you to have that kind of attitude. He wanted you to walk not by sight, but by faith. Faith is eager expectation of the things that are not as though they are. So even when you're in the presence of not, you're walking in not as though it is. Even when you're in the face of rejection, you're walking in acceptance. You know what I'm saying? Even in the middle of a grudge, you're walking with forgiveness in your heart. Even in a workplace where everybody complains about everything, you can walk and be satisfied and content with what you have. The Christian life must be lived from the standpoint that we are not expecting to sin. Every sin can be overcome. One more verse tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And my last thought for you tonight is, the old you is gone, and it's time to start living like the new you. If people can't tell a difference in the person you have become since you've been saved versus the person you were when you did not know Christ, then you need to seek about what you've got. Because the kind of thing that I've got inside of me has made me a totally different individual. I cut my hair. I changed my speech. I laid off drugs and alcohol. I changed the people that I was around. I stopped going to the places that would hinder me. I started getting myself in church. I started taking the Word of God seriously. I began to let the Holy Spirit minister to me. And I've not even talked about all that God blessed me with along the way. But those are the things that changed in me that made me the person that I am today. But I'm here to tell you, you're not that person you were. You're a new creature. Look over at somebody and tell them, say, you're a new person. You're not as you were. You are as you are in Christ. And I'm glad of that. Because you know what? The creature I was would not be here standing before you. And I've said it so much, it just goes through one ear and out the other. But I'm here to tell you, in honest to goodness truth, had I not found God, I would not be here. I would have been dead by now. Statistics already had me counted as dead, even before God found me. But even when Lazarus was days dead, it still wasn't too late. My friends, I'm here tonight to tell you all of this, to walk in your freedom, to walk in the person that you are. Why? Because there are people that are being bullied out there. There are young people that are dealing with stuff on Facebook. They don't even tell you what they're dealing with. There are people that are being tempted into sin at the youngest ages, even when they're not even to the age of accountability. They are being lured away to sin by other people that have the presence of evil inside of them. And I'm here to tell you, you may not be around very many stories. You may not turn on the news and see what's going on in the day we're living in, but terror is all around us. Acts of violence and aggression are on the rise, and people's respect for property, people's respect for life is decreasing by the day. And unless we're going to fight the good fight to help them find deliverance. Listen, they could have let Legion go on by and be just as afflicted as he was when they found him. But they had enough love in them to approach the situation and deliverance come for him. And they asked him, they said, well, why can't we be able to have this kind of power? And he was telling them, this comes by the power of prayer and fasting. I'm here to tell you, if you don't realize that you're free in Christ, you're never going to pray or fast. You know why? Because you don't see it as important. Because if you realize the kind of things that it would do for you, you wouldn't go one day without it. I'm here to tell you, I just wish that for one day that I could walk it by sight. Because if I could see all the things that happen when I pray, if I could only know and understand all the things that are going on in the heavenlies, if I could only but have a moment just to see a window, a snippet of time of what God's doing even when I'm asleep, it would help me to walk a little bit more. But even when I cannot see it, I still walk and believe he's going to take care of the things that I can't even change on my own. He's going to move in the things that I can't even see that are happening. So friends, trust in his word. Walk in the freedom he's called you in. But more than that, the most important part of all of this is to show other people that you're a new creature. The church of today, without salvation ministry, is going to become the church of yesterday. And if we're not willing to make salvation something that we show people of its worth, then we're not a salvation church. You know what we are? A feel-good church. We just come to feel good. We don't care about if people are hurting and broken. And let me tell you, that feel-good feeling only lasts for a season. And then you'll go through a phase where you're so miserable you don't know what to do. When all that God is trying to speak to us to do is just to live in what he's already given us. If every one of us came in the next church service and did one good thing, one, I could assure you, somebody would be drawn closer to God than they were before. We are so inspired by the words of Paul. But remember, he was just one man. Think about the things that you could do. He didn't see where the letters were going to go. He didn't know the kind of impact it was going to have on a more broader scale. He was willing to do it in his suffering. And God took his faith and made it prosper in something that would have destroyed him. Now think about it. Think about all the souls that have been saved by people being inspired by reading the scriptures of someone from prison. Yet we don't even have time to go do jail ministry. Somebody talk to me tonight. Think about how that the young lad with the fish and loaves of bread was able to help supply the need for the multitude. Yet we're too busy to be concerned for the youth. Think about all the people that come in that are in bondage. But yet think about the reputation of Jesus and how it blew up when people heard about the deliverance of Legion. Think about how that when people heard the deliverance and arising of Lazarus, what kind of impact that had. Think about the kind of impact it's had on you. Think about songs that have been sung that have inspired you. Those were wrote by people that went through things. Think about the books that you read that inspire you. They were wrote by people. Think about some of the words that I've been preaching for the last 10 years. I'm just one person. Think about the impact you can have just by living the life that God has given you to enjoy. Because the world would see you as one person as very small. But what God said about us, he said, nothing is impossible. But to him, it's just a little thing. So he was saying that if your problems are just a little thing, that it doesn't have to rule you. He said if you could be faithful over a few things, that he could make you what? A ruler over what? Many. That means he will give you dominion. But you know what? You already have the dominion. It's just a realization that we have dominion. The Spirit causes our flesh to finally die out enough where we realize I don't have to live hateful. There are people that I love dearly. The most hateful people I know have nothing good to say, criticize everything, totally unsatisfied. Such a miserable way to live. I can't do it. How could you walk up to a donut and eat a donut and act like that it was anything but good? How could you ever get out on the lake in a boat in the middle of the stillness of the water and behold the mountains and say that it's not beautiful? How could you put your feet down in the sands of the oceans and act like that it's nothing? How can we take what is such a wonderful and great gift of God toward us and act like it's nothing? Friends, that's the flesh in you that tells you that it's nothing. But I'm here to tell you that through Christ you can do it. You know what that means? Through Christ you realize your power and dominion over sin. Because when you did not have power, he saved you. But when you come to the realization of the truth, he gave you the Spirit to continue to have power. Tonight, that's all that I'm going to leave you with. Others would have thrown this chance away, but I never squander the chance to be able to come and minister what the Spirit has been working inside of me. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're not doing something with it, with the Spirit that's burning inside of you, you know what? You're just spilling your coffee and never drinking it. Don't just come to come. Come and provide something for your victory. Come and feed your victory. Come and build your faith. Don't just come and do what you feel like is expected of you. Come and feed your faith. Build yourself up in the Word of God by the meat of the Word, that your faith would not be wavering, tossed to and fro. Because every time you're to and fro, there's a devil that's seeking to get you with temptation to sin. But God loved us enough to give us grace that in times when we're not doing what we should be, that we can learn and get back up again and be as overcomers. He doesn't want you to go out heavier than what you came in. And if you still feel heavy, God wants to minister to you, help you, that you would prosper, have sound mind, and be in good health. I love you tonight. And I'm going to say something that I often don't remember to say. I'm concerned for you, and I pray for you often. But I'm not praying just to come in time and time again and see the same old you. I'm praying that the more that I believe by faith, I'm expecting to see more come out of you. I'm looking for you to spill your coffee, if you know what I mean. I'm looking for you to have some overflow in your life. I'm looking for you to get the donut and actually realize it's good. Stop living our life as critical of everything and learn to enjoy something for a change. I've been with people that have went on vacation and they couldn't even enjoy being on vacation because they were still working inside of their head back at work. I've been that guy before. Sometimes it take me 2 to 3 days to unwind just to even realize what was around me. And then by the time I realize, hey, I'm off work, I'm relaxing, I'm getting to do what I want to, getting to enjoy things, it's already time to go back home. So don't wait and go to 6 church services before you come to the realization God has called you to enjoy every single opportunity that you get. Has this been good for you tonight? I love you and appreciate you. And as they sing, the altar's open. I appreciate your attention. But more than that, don't just be a hearer of this. Be a doer. And God will prosper you and take care of you. And you know what? You'll go around with a little more pep in your step and have the signs and symptoms of overflow, or what I like to call an abundance of the anointing. I would almost like to put in one of those commercials like they have for medications. Side effects may include joy, happiness, too much laughter. Side effects may include praying in the Holy Ghost and actually knowing where you're going and knowing what you're doing. Please consult Jesus about going in a deeper walk with Him. He wants you to prosper. I can't get that out of my spirit. He wants you to prosper. So stop living in fear. Let's walk by faith.